Next year will be the 30th anniversary of tennis player Arthur Ashe's passing. He was a friend of mine, and I have spent my downtime, my COVID time, going back and rereading some of my favorite novels and biographies and so forth. So today I am reading from Days of Grace. It was Arthur's last book. And the small piece I'm reading is called The Burden of Race. I had spent more than an hour talking in my office at home with a reporter from People magazine. Her editor had sent her to do a story about me and how I was coping with AIDS. The reporter's questions had been probing and yet respectful of my right to privacy. Now our interview was over. I was escorting her to the door. As she slipped on her coat, she fell silent. I could see that she was groping for the right words to express her sympathy for me before she left. Mr. Ashe, I guess this must be the heaviest burden you've ever had to bear, isn't it? She asked finally. I thought for a moment, but only a moment. No, it isn't. It's a burden, all right. But AIDS isn't the heaviest burden I've had to bear. Is there something worse? Your heart attack? I didn't want to detain her, but I left the door closed with both of us still inside. You're not going to believe this, I said to her, but being Black is the greatest burden I've had to bear. You can't mean that. No question about it. Race has always been my biggest burden. Having to live as a minority in America, even now it continues to feel like an extra weight tied around me. I can still recall the surprise and perhaps even the hurt on her face. I may even have surprised myself because I simply had never thought of comparing the two conditions before. However, I stand by my remark, race is for me a more onerous burden than AIDS. My disease is the result of biological factors over which we thus far have had no control. Racism, however, is entirely made by people, and therefore it hurts and inconveniences infinitely more. Since our interview skillfully presented appeared in People in June 1992, many people have commented on my remark. A radio station in Chicago, aimed primarily at Blacks, conducted a lively debate on its merits on the air. Most African Americans have little trouble understanding and accepting my statement, but other people have been baffled by it. Even Donald Dell, my close friend of more than 30 years, was puzzled. So puzzled that he telephoned me in the middle of the night from Hamburg, Germany, to ask if I had been misquoted. No, I told him, I had been quoted correctly. Some people have asked me flatly, what could you, Arthur Ashe, possibly have to complain about? Do you want more money or fame than you already have? Isn't AIDS inevitably fatal? What can be worse than death? I do not want to be misunderstood. I do not mean to appear fatalistic, self-pitying, cynical, or maudlin. Proud to be an American, I am also proud to be an African American. I delight in the accomplishments of fellow citizens of my color. When one considers the odds against which we have labored, we have achieved much. I believe in life, hope, and love. I turn my back on death, and I must face my end in all its finality. A shadow fell across me recently on one of the brightest days. Literally and metaphorically, it was a bright day, one of the brightest of my life. On August 30th, 1992, the day before the U.S. Open, the U.S. Tennis Association and I together hosted an afternoon of tennis at the National Tennis Center in Flushing Meadows, New York. The event was a benefit for the Arthur Ashe Foundation for the Defeat of AIDS. Before the start, I was nervous. Would the invited guests, i.e. McEnroe, Graf, Navratilova, et al., show up? Would they cooperate with us or be difficult to manage? With CBS televising the event live and Aetna having provided the airtime, a profit was ensured. What could mar such a day? The shadow of race and my sensitivity, or perhaps hypersensitivity to its nuances, sharing the main stadium box with Gene Camera and me at my invitation, were Stan Smith, his wife Marjorie, and their daughter Austin. The two little girls were happy to see one another. And Austin brought twin dolls, one for herself, one for Camera. A thoughtful gesture on Austin's part, and on her parents' part too. Then I noticed that Camera was playing with her doll above the railing of the box, in full view of the attentive network camera, television cameras. The doll was the problem, or rather, the fact that the doll was conspicuously blonde. Camera owns dolls of all colors, nationalities, and ethnic varieties, but she was now on national television playing with a blonde doll. Suddenly, I heard voices in my head, the voices of irate listeners to a call-in show on some Black format radio station. I imagined insistent, clamorous callers attacking Camera, Gene, and me. Quote, can you believe the doll Arthur Ashe's daughter was holding up at the AIDS benefit? Wasn't that a shame? Is that brother sick or what? Somebody ought to teach that poor child about her true Black self. What kind of role model is Arthur Ashe if he allows his daughter to be whitewashed in that way? Doesn't the brother understand that he is corrupting his child's mind with notions about the propriety of the superiority of the white woman? I tell you, I thought we were long past that. The voices became harder in my head. Jean, I whispered, we have to do something. About what, she whispered back, that doll. We have to get Camera to put the doll down. Jean takes one look at Camera and the doll, and she understands immediately. Quietly, cleverly, she makes the dolls disappear. Neither Camera nor Austin is aware of anything unusual happening. Gosh, Arthur, I never thought about that, said Margie when I explained to her what happened. You don't have to think about it, I explained. But it happens to us in similar situations all the time. Deeply embarrassed now, I am ashamed at what I have done. I have made Camera adjust her behavior merely because of the likelihood that some people in the African American community would react to her innocence foolishly and perhaps even maliciously. This incident almost ruined the day for me. That night, when Jean and I talked about the excitement of the afternoon and the money that would go to AIDS research and education because of the event, we nevertheless ended up talking mostly about the incident of the dolls. Once again, the shadow of race had fallen on me.